must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now, in this, we see that the Lord is using an illustration. He is using the well as a picture, right? He says, Please give to me to drink. Now, in her mind, little old me? You don't talk to the Samaritans. You Jews, you're high-minded. We are we're the outcasts. We're the mixed bloods. You don't have anything to do with us. You're the Jews. And of course, he goes and he corrects her and says, if you knew who you were talking to. Now, what is it that's being spoken of here? What's being spoken of really? Salvation. She's talking about getting a bucket down there in the hole, bringing water out. The Lord is talking about salvation. And he used that conversation of please give me water as kind of the icebreaker, as the conversation starter, gets her talking to him. But as she gets excited, and again, I don't know at this point, does she understand what's being talked about? How far out of the field is she on this? But she says, please give me water that I don't have to come back to this old well and keep getting water out of it in order to be satisfied. Well, what is it that we go to satisfy us before we're saved? Well, whatever gives us a thrill, isn't it? That little bit of sin here and there. And you see that time and time again. Whatever it is that God has said not to do, we get a particular thrill in doing it, like we're, you know, some little kid sneaking into the cookie jar. What's that? I was told not to drink. Well, let me have a drink. And the chemicals do to your body what they do to your body. And you get the thrill in your head. And you feel really good until the morning. And what happens? You feel sick. And they got that cute little phrase, little hair of the dog. Why? Because just a little bit of alcohol makes the sting go away, right? No, it just reintoxicates you, right? So what happens? You literally have to go back to the well, all right? At the end of the day, at the next party, at the next get-together, I go back to the well. You take somebody who is adept at telling lies. They get away with it once. Well, it feels pretty good. It worked out. I got out of trouble. Mom and Dad never knew anything about it. And before you know it, they're congressmen and congresswomen doing the same thing, being professionals at it. They are lawyers being professionals at telling lies and feeling nothing for it. But what must they continue to do? They've got to go back to the well. The conversation of the gospel is always about Jesus Christ. But we wouldn't be having the conversation of the gospel were it not for sin. Let's take a look at the next part of the conversation. She says, please give me this water. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. Now, without realizing it, she has confessed her sin. Now, there's something going on in these marriages. We don't know the story. We just know the scandal, right? We just know the divorce part of the story. We don't know what's going on in here. But the man that she's living with now isn't even her husband. There's something going on. Is it her fault? Is it their fault? It doesn't matter. It's sin somewhere. Someone is going back to the well. Right? Is it fornication? Is it adultery? Is it whatever? Someone is going back to the well. And what he is telling her is, if you drink of the water I have, you won't thirst again. Now, I tell you what, as beautiful as it would be for the day that we were saved, we never felt any temptation again, that'd be nice, but it'd be a lie. We do feel temptation. We do give in to temptation. Christians are not perfect people. However, you know what we do have? We have the ability to not have to go back to the well. We do. We have everything we need supplied. Right? You see, so well, how do you entertain yourself? Well, some people like to sit there in the backyard in front of a fire. Some people like to go kayaking. Some people like to take a little vacation. Some people like to go sit down and have a nice dinner out. We've all got ways of relaxing that do not involve sin. But some folks, they cannot relax without it. They cannot go a day without it. And they are proud of it. They're excited about it. They're trying to get you to come in and join them in it. Right? Life is about sedation. I was driving on the 75 coming back home last night. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I passed that sign going north. It is that sign for marijuana. It says, you just need to. And on the other side, it said, lighten up. But oddly enough, the lights on that one didn't work. Marketing is very important. You got to get the details right. Why? Well, because that keep you quiet, keep you calm. Don't you feel quiet and calm? Yeah, that's sedation, right? You're sitting there for hours in front of a phone. You're sitting there for hours in front of a television, hours doing nothing at all. It's sedation. But we go back to the well. Well, because I like not feeling something for a few minutes here or there. I like not having to be bothered by something a little bit here or there. But what we don't realize is you can't go 2 or 3 days without it. Right? And that goes anywhere from food to drugs to habits. If you can't go a day without it, it's gotcha. It's gotcha. Now, there are things we're supposed to have, but we understand the things that we're not supposed to have. And we understand what it's doing to us. We understand that we keep opening our wallets to it, opening our eyes to it, opening our ears to it. Jesus brings forth this idea of a living water of salvation. I can give this to you. It will change your life. You will never go back to the well again. And she goes, all right, give it. That sounds great. Give that to me. And all of a sudden, he flips the switch. Not talking about sin. We cannot talk about salvation without talking about sin. Why did Jesus Christ come and die on the cross? To put so we can have knickknacks to hang up on our walls? To have songs in our songbooks about a really neat story that happened thousands of years ago? No. Because man had sinned. Sin entered into the world. And because of the relationship between God and sin, we could not be together. That God deplored sin, and the punishment for sin was hell. But God, in His loving mercy, sent His Son to die on the cross to take our punishment like a sacrificial lamb, bearing our sins on Him, that we can have forgiveness, that we can be washed clean and spend eternity in heaven. That's what the story is, by the way. That's what the gospel is. Yes, it is about Jesus Christ, but never forget that it is about sin. And what must we say about sin? Now, we could sit here and we could try to lifetime Hallmark movie this story out. Make it real beautiful. Maybe the first husband died. Maybe the second one cheated on her. Maybe the third one was disinterested and had issues. We could really paint the picture. But it does not matter. Sin was happening again and again and again. And in order to have living water, in order to have salvation, there must be conviction over sin. Which means we've got to talk about it. Well, I don't like the way preachers talk about sin all the time. It's very judgmental, very mean. Right? Do me, if you raise your right hand, you go out at the end of church and you grab yourself an ice cream tonight. Because you went out and you grabbed yourself an ice cream, are you an ice creamer? Is getting an ice cream part of who you are? No, it's just something you went out and did. Right? Now we can say, hey, who here drinks pop? Who here drinks tea? Is that part of who you are? No. Right? Some people like Coke, some people like Pepsi. We abolish both of them tomorrow. What are you? You're the same thing you were today. Right? We confuse what we do with what we are. I am a sinner at the core, so I sin. But those sins are not an integral part of me. I'm saved. I can drop those things. You understand? I can let them go. Even when you're lost, you can drop a bad habit. They're not a part of who we are. Well, I'm short-tempered. No, you have a habit of going off fast. These are the things you need to do to address that. See, we have an option in our actions. So we need to stop pretending that they're justified, understand that they are wrong, understand that we can stop them, which means we're available for the next step. We can confess them. We can be sorry for them. I apologized to somebody one time and they said, well, I'm not going to forgive you. And I said, well, that's fine, because I didn't say it to make it go away. I said it to let you know. Understand the graph. Definition. By society's definition, no. By my own definition, no. By Kid Rock's definition, no. I'm not by any of theirs, but by God's, I sinned. I did wrong. And because of that wrong I did, I deserve eternity in hell. This conversation could have been just about any single last one of us, where the Lord's talking to us at the well about living water, and we say, yes, give me the well. And could you only imagine what sin the Lord would bring up first if it were each and every one of us standing by this well? Sin must first be confessed. It must, there must be an actual sorrow. I saw somebody doing, they were training people on how to get the gospel, and they go over this and, now listen, do you know you're not perfect? Well, yeah, I know I'm not perfect. You ever do something you're sorry for? Yeah. All right, we'll see, you confessed your sin. What? They almost kind of half expect the guy to bust out a ShamWow, start selling that while they're at it. That's not how that works. Do you at your core recognize you have done wrong in the eyes of God and you are truly sorry? Like, I give you a time machine, you go back, make sure it never happened. Kind of sorry. Like, given the opportunity to do it again in the future, you'll run the other way. Kind of sorry. Like, hey, you're willing to put a little effort into making it right. Kind of sorry. Verse 19, the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You know, the amazing thing about God is he knows what every single last one of us has done. You know, the great thing about God is, too, he loves us anyway. He loves us anyway. Well, why is it that you talk about sin, even especially if it's yours? Because you know I'm a sinner. I know you're a sinner. And I know God could love us anyway. That's the power of God. Man, we'll mess up with each other. We'll hurt each other's feelings. We'll hold on to that business for decades. God could know everything about us, forgive us in a heartbeat. That's how great God is. He knows everything. But at the same time, that love, that compassion, why is it that he had to go through Samaria? I think this woman was on his docket. I had to be, because I got to be there. Why? Do we have a dignitary? Do we have something impressive going on? Is there a certain route we got to take? Is there a good marketplace that way? And in his mind, he's thinking, no, no, no. I don't know her name. History doesn't know her name, but the Lord Jesus Christ sure does. He knows her name. Why? Because this was an appointment he set up so that she could have that living water and never have to thirst again. Verse 20 says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. See, automatically it falls into the debate of religion. Well, you worship there. You don't understand, brother. When I grew up under this religion, and they believed this, and I got around some friends, and they didn't believe religion, or they believed a different kind of religion. I got into this church and that church, and I've met these people, too, where they've been to every kind of church, sampled the whole buffet. It's down about. God say about hey, was it a baptism when I was a child? Was it where you worshiped, where I worshiped? No. What does God have to say about salvation? Had that conversation today. Well, you know, so and so was baptized by, you know, in this church. And I don't know if they're baptized by this person, but it's very important. We just looked at that through 1 Corinthians. It has more to do with God. Now, don't get nervous on me. We develop our doctrines from the Word of God and that Jesus Christ says them too. I'm not negating it. What I'm trying to say is this, is immediately when you get to that point with people, when you have that conversation, they always bring it up to religious differences. Let's stop talking about this mountain or that mountain. Let's go ahead and see how the Lord responded to it. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Listen, it'll no longer be about Jew or Gentile is what he's saying. You worship him in truth. In truth. So as we're looking at this idea of, you know, salvation is confession of sin. Salvation is belief that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sin. But we've got to acknowledge that if we have taken of that water, if we're saved, we've got to stop going back to the old wells. We've got to stop. Right? Well, you know, I like to gossip, so I'll get out there and I'll talk about so-and-so and I'll talk about so-and-so. No, you go right up the lane and you go talk to so-and-so yourself. Right? Well, I like to have a beer. I like to have a cigarette. I like to have a little marijuana every now and then. I like to have a pill here, a pill there. I like these things. Well, you may like them, but those are the old wells. You're called away from them. Well, you can't expect a man to keep his eyes on you. Yes, you can. As a matter of fact, God demands it. There's a little comment that I heard recently as well. Well, you know, men can't control themselves. Like that gives us a pass. Wouldn't that be nice? Men can't control themselves. All right. And that's pretty much what it was. It was justification of infidelity. Well, it was not the man's fault. It is. What about the woman? It's probably her fault too. It takes two to tango. And a few other things. Right. I like this argument that you see nowadays. You're forcing us to give birth. Forcing us to give birth. Well, I tell you what, if no one's forcing you to get pregnant, no one's forcing you to give birth. Oh, then I got a little chuckle. We need to understand that we can't go back to our old sin. There's nothing there for us anymore. And why do we keep going back to it? Because it still satisfies the while. Well, I'm in a bad mood, so I'm going to do this or that. And then when you're in a bad mood again, you decide you're going to treat yourself with some sin. And guess what? Eventually, you're going to get back in a bad mood again, go back to that old well. You don't belong at that old well. That well still does not satisfy you. That well will always disappoint you, will always drain your pocketbook, will always take from your family time, will always rob you of your mentality, and it will take your health. Because that's what sin does. When we can understand that we have a responsibility for our sin, we can confess it, we can lay it at His feet, it is a wonderful thing. But folks, don't pick it back up. Leave it there. Be done with it. Truly be done with the old wells. You ever walk into a buffet? I probably haven't been in a buffet in a good long while, though I look like I just got out of one, but I mean, honestly, you go to a buffet, you got people using two chairs in that bad boy. Right? And you're like, okay, you're done. You're done. Here we go. Let's go. You and me, let's walk around the restaurant for a while. Right? Look at that. It's too much. Indulge, indulge, indulge. Let's not fall into sin in that way. We're always giving in, always going in for things. I want more, 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 more. Put a limit on it. Stop it. Stop being that person who goes back to the Lord every day to confess for the sin they confessed for the day before. Truly be done with it. Truly tell yourself, I'm not doing this again. And then we see what happens. Verse 23 again, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. When you know that your sins have been forgiven, when you know that there's a place for you in eternity, what is our next response? It ought to be worship. It ought to be joy. And I tell you what, home last night, I can't remember the time I've been so beat up, right? I went out, I went roofing with my father-in-law. We moved the shingles. We got up there. We found some holes in the roof. We only got about 4 foot in, but just him and I out there in the sun and having a good old time. But it was hard work and we were tired. Didn't get as much done as we wanted to, but we got a good amount done before the rain set. It was nice. Driving down, having to work with the family, planning on things, doing some things. I came home, I was wore out. And I see the Bible sitting there, and I see, I understand the faith. Yesterday was Xander's 1 year birthday being saved. And I tell you what, on a day where I'm struggling, Lord sure does give you joy. When you're sitting there thinking about eternity, it sure is nice to be able to sit at it from one having received living water. Your rough days, you can still worship. The days where you have words to put together, on days where you've run out of strength and energy, you still have it there to be grateful. Because you know how God blesses. Yes, we live in a world where there are struggles. Yes, there are times where you won't be your best. There'll be times where you don't feel your best. But God sure is good. You know, somebody asked me, well, are you going back to church? I said, yeah. Well, you could stay here. Well, yeah, I could. Like, well, why are you going back? And I'm like, because we have church. See, it's not an obligation. My friends are there. That's where we get together. We meet with the Lord. We open the Bible. And you know what? I tell you what, we're not going to get a tour bus, travel on the road with our singing aspirations. But I love hearing it. There are moments I'll stop singing just to listen. And you know what? Maybe you're not the perfect singer. Maybe you're not talented by your definition at all. Maybe you're like me, you can't carry a tune in a bucket if you know somebody held the bucket for you. You know, maybe struggle. but it's still a group of believers getting together and singing. I'm not gonna miss that. I'm not. I got this one. Is it because it's your job? Well, I went faithfully when it wasn't my job, for the exact same reasons. Why wouldn't I be there? Am I sick? No. I got other stuff. I got more pressing things. No, I got to be where the Word of God is. I got to be where the people of God is. Why? We're going to plan to get together to worship. We're planning on getting together to pray. Why would I miss out on the Lord like that? You better believe I'm going to be here. Don't we have those relationships? Where if somebody were to call you, it did not matter what time, didn't matter what it was, you'd be on your way. Hey, let's go have dinner. You put your boots on, you go. You might not have even brushed your hair that day. You're still going out because you're going to go see that person. Oh, man, it's so exciting to see that person. We ought to have that heart for the Lord. Man, I want to be there. What's that word? What's that? We've got an opportunity. It's a coffee fellowship. Well, that sounds kind of dumb. It is kind of dumb a lot of the time, but I tell you what, I get to see God's people. We get to open the Word of God. We have some conversations about the Word. Hey, free coffee. Well, kind of. We tithe. Kind of. Why? It's good. What do you mean you can't come out early? You got to read your Bible. What do you mean you got to go home because you skipped reading today? What do you mean you're going to go out to your car to pray for a while? What do you mean you're going to do this because I'm not going to skip on God? Do you know how valuable that time between Him and I is? I've got to be there. I can't go to bed without talking to Him. And it all depends on how much we put into that relationship. You know, I don't want to be mean, but I was visiting a church one time, and the husband sat right about where Brother Art is, and the wife sat probably back over where Jack was, and I was a visitor, so I had no idea they were married. So imagine the little scandal and gossipy heart that hit me when I saw them walk together and get into the same car to go home. And I go, "Oh, all right. They're trying to hide something poorly." And I was talking to the pastor. The pastor was explaining, "Yeah, and then you got brother and sister." And I go, "Oh, brother and sister? No, brother and sister. Oh, okay." Sitting on opposite ends. Now listen, I perfectly understand my wife not wanting to sleep in the same bed with me because, I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit noisy. But in the same pew? You can't stand each other for a half hour, 45 minutes in the same pew? What's going on? I can't sleep unless Danielle's there. I told you that story, right? Well, there's a car out here that says "just married." Anybody? Is that you two? Just married? Congratulations. I don't normally call people out on a Wednesday. We'll come by and tell you jokes later. But no, when my wife and I, we first got married, we came back home. We had a fight. And she got huffy and she goes, "Fine." And she went out. She slept on the couch. I had no idea what to do. I went out there, I slept with her. I can't sleep without her. Why? That's a very valuable person. I am not joking when I tell you that is the left side of my brain out there bouncing that child. That's it. Without her, I forget it. I've got friends who I tell you, I don't care what I'm doing. You call me, you text me, I'm going to drop everything I'm doing. The Lord Jesus Christ saved your undeserving soul. God daily pours out blessings in your life. You could write a book, I mean, that could tell all for all the blessings and mercies and healings and forgivenesses that God has given to you. How does the relationship affect that? How does it show that? It better show that. Right? We sit there and we squabble over little things, and what we need to do is get together on the book. Get together on that. There's and I hope my mom doesn't listen to this one later. My grandma likes. Now, anybody here, you ever been to a Hungarian Reformed Church? Never been to a Hungarian Reformed Church. It's like a Catholic and a Lutheran church got together. and put on a like a Batman show. I'll take pictures. I'll show you. But no, this was the guy who got you walk in, you got a big old like copper bust of Martin Luther on one side of the entryway into the church. So you walk in, you got the lobby, you go into the sanctuary, you got to walk by Luther, and then you got to walk over by John Calvin. Meanwhile, after the last service that we had with him for my great grandmother's funeral, he raised a toast of alcohol at the dinner and prayed with his alcoholic beverage in the air, right? Still in his bat priest, like, I'll take a picture. You guys got to see it. I'm not doing it justice. But raise it up in the air. My grandma goes, well, I like him. He's very theologically sound. He is a real priest. And you know what? If me and this guy sat down, you know, I know exactly what would happen. He'd quote the forefathers. He'd quote the reformist fathers. If he had any knowledge at all, if he had any study at all, he might just pick some select verses out of the King James Bible. I might share my stories. I might share the things that I understand. I might stick to the book as close to I can. But you know where we come together is when we both lay our opinion aside and we pull out this book. That's what will happen. Why? Because I do not believe that you can be Baptist and not, I don't believe that you can know this book and not be a Baptist. That's what I believe. I believe the more you know this book, the more Baptistic you'll be. Why? Because those aren't Baptist doctrines, those are biblical doctrines. You understand? It just so happens that we're Baptists and these are our doctrines. We get them from this book. We come back to the book. Right, as we said, that we worship him in what? We worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So in my heart, I'm rejoicing. In my spirit, man, when I'm going through my day, I rejoice in the Lord. I worship the Lord. Together, we lift up our voices, we worship. But we got to worship him in truth. We've got to worship him in truth. How often do you see people of a religious nature fumble over questions that they don't want to give the answer to? Well, do you believe, in your understanding, it doesn't matter? What does the book say? Well, isn't that up to your interpretation? As a matter of fact, the Bible says that it's not up to private interpretation. It says what it says. Now, we may not get it perfectly. We may not be able to view it the right way, but it says what it says. You may read it and pick it up one way. I may read it up and pick it another. Joel Osteen's out there not picking it up at all, and we're all disagreeing, but you get the book out. The book means one thing. We get into it. We understand it. You know where that comes in with worship? One, it tells me how to worship, because there's a truth and there's a falseness in how to worship. Right, the kind of worship that brings attention to myself, the kind of worship that shows me off. There was that lady I saw at a, I don't think it was a concert, but it was at a church, and there was something going on. It might have been a graduation or something. She gets up and she's singing, and she's got her microphone, and she's just... Now listen, if the Spirit's moving and you're rocking a little bit, I understand. But when you break the point between worshiping the Lord and putting on a show, it becomes about you. It becomes about you. That's the breaking point. We got to worship in truth. We got to worship in truth. You hear some of these more modern songs where the word of God, Jesus, there's no mention of the Lord whatsoever in the song. And it is more about the person singing and this outside force. So. Easily be a love song, right? It would be very easily be that one song, Raise Me, that first became really, was a very deep, it's not. It Church is, well, because by their definition, close enough. You raise me up. Me. That's what these songs are about. When you cross the line about the Lord's relationship with him, just being for you, lost the ability to worship. You know what also calls you to worship, not just knowing how to worship the right way, but what will cause you to worship is when I'm sitting here and I've got a problem and I don't necessarily have the words for it, and I can go into this book and I can find the words for it. Man, I tell you what, I'm having a hard time with the kids today. What is it that I need to do? And you get in, maybe through your reading, you go, there it is. Or my personal favorite, I like when you're reading ahead of time. The Lord gives you a chance to study before the thing happens. I was just looking at that last week, or I saw that on Monday, and here we are. Or the other thing I like so very much, when you might not have been anywhere near the screen, but you're in a situation, and a verse pops up in your head. I know what to do there, man. Right, you sit there. Oh no, we had can't remember who we were talking to about this. I think normally it's me and Brother Bill that talk about going to people's houses when we were working. Right, I'd go do a work order. You'll go in, there'll be somebody half dressed. Right, well, I'm gonna go in and take a shower. I'll come back later. Well, I'm just gonna be in here changing. I'm just gonna be here sleeping. They got nothing on. Well, all right, see you later. Bye. Why? No, I read the story of Joseph. I ain't doing this. I'm out of here. All right. Well, hey, you know what? You got to live. When I was young, hey, you got to live it up. You got to sow your wild oats. I read the story of the prodigal child. I'm not doing that. I don't like the smell of pigs. Get out. Well, I tell you what, if you just compromise a little bit, maybe if you just come out, let me show you how to have a fun time. You got to get out of your Christian mode. And you got to come and enjoy yourself just a little bit. I read the story of Samson. You ain't cutting my hair. It ain't happening. What is that? When I can go and I can find a spot to put my foot, I am glad. I'm glad. When we have to live life unsure of what the next step is, depression, frustration, all of the issues, right? We get them all. But when I, in fact, listen, this is what the Lord wants me to do. I don't know about all this mess, but I do know what he wants me to do right now. So I'm going to keep doing this until he shows me what to do with the rest of it. Every now and then I get friends out. Hey, brother, we're kind of at a crossroads. Do we do this? Do we do that? And I go, whoo. You know what? You could honor the Lord either way. So you know what you ought to do? What? Keep doing what you're supposed to be doing until it becomes clear. Well, I don't know. Should I go do this? Should I go do that? I like this in our Christianity. I was thinking about buying this car. Okay? And it turned out that as I was looking into the car, the more I'd see him out on the road. It was almost like I couldn't drive to or from work without seeing two or three of the same kind of car I was looking to buy. Really? That must have been the Lord telling me that I should buy that car. Well, you work at Taco Bell and you're $30,000 in debt. I would say no. That's probably not what the Lord is saying. Well, what do you think it means? It means there's a dealership in your neighborhood. Presumably they're doing well. Well, what is that? We're reading tea leaves at that point, trying to decide what to do. We're rolling the coins and we're calling it the Lord. Well, should I go on vacation or should I go over here and, I don't know, the pastor's got revival, pastor's got a conference going on over there. Which one should I do? Well, let me think about it. No, you know what to do. Yeah, but you don't understand. Like in my email box, there's all these little things about vacations I could take. You know, that wouldn't happen if the Lord didn't put them there. I don't think the Lord works in a spam office in India. I know he works in mysterious ways. I don't think he works that way. And by the way, if you want to come check my spam mailbox, you'll find a ton of those too. I don't think he put them there for me either. We're reading tea leaves trying to figure out what to do. If I put myself to the Word of God and I study it, I will find application for it. That's why you commit it to memory, because sometimes You're going to need it real fast. Sometimes it could take a while before you need it. But you know for a fact you're going to need it. And having that surety, having that knowledge, knowing what to do when you've got to do it, cause you to worship. Cause you to worship. Well, what are we going to do about all these health problems? What are we going to do about all these bills? What are we going to do about all these problems with the kids? What are we going to do about these problems with the house? What are we going to do about these problems over here at the church? What are we going to do with them all? Well, we're going to be faithful, and this is how the Lord wants me to live my life. And I'll tell you what, the answers will be there. I'm going to serve the Lord the way He told me to do it. Oh, no, you don't understand. We got to change everything to be able to put out all these little fires. No, I don't. I got to get up in the morning. I got to pray. I got to be faithful to my work. I got to do my responsibilities. I got to live exactly the way God has asked me to live. And I'll tell you what, He will give clarity on it. It may take a while, but you'll get there. Well, what? You know, I'm not living that way, though. Well, here's your opportunity to live in that way. And by the way, that might be how you got there. Might be how you got there. Again, another great conversation I had today. Well, you don't understand, that's exactly how our family works. Well, maybe our family works that way because we keep doing this dumb thing. Doing this smart thing, we wouldn't have that problem anymore. And then there's just presumably saying amen. Nothing. If we stopped doing the foolish things, maybe if we started praying, maybe if we started reading our Bibles, maybe if we fulfilled the roles that God has called us to, maybe if we were good stewards at work, good stewards at home, good stewards in our finances, maybe if we picked up the habit we were supposed to have, we would find the answers to the problems. Because maybe we're the reason why things are going off track, because we're not serving in truth. When you have the truth and you can live by it, oh, you're going to be excited. You're going to be excited. I've heard that testimony so many times during devotions up here where, you know what, I did what the Lord said, and this is what happened. I love those stories. Keep telling those stories. I like those stories. Why? Because that is exactly what happens when you do what the Lord tells you to do. Yeah, you know what? We may not be able to predict how it's going to look. We may not be able to predict how it's going to come out, but we do know that it's all going to work together for good. So again, as we're sitting here, we need to understand that we need truth. And the truth of what? The truth of our sin. Our sin is, we can't keep going back to the same old well, get sips here, sips there, expecting to not be thirsty again. As I was working with my father-in-law, I'm not a builder. I'm not. But you know what I am? I'm a really good helper. I am. I'll put the water bottles out of the container, put them into the cooler so they're cool. I will find the broom and dustpan. You need a box of shingles, you need a bag of shingles, I will go down, get two or three bags of shingles, bring them up, position them where I think you're going to need them, open them up, hand them to you. You drop your nail gun, I will go down the ladder, go get the nail gun, bring it back. I'm a really good helper, man. I'm really good. So I'm sitting, I'm watching my father-in-law, and I'm counting, getting to the point where I've got nothing else to do, so I'm counting the nails. Okay, he's going to need a nail. Going to need a nail. Now, so I was bringing over a bag of shingles, and I was putting them down, and I heard the telltale flick of a water going off the roof. We were making a mess, by the way. And I go over, and I get him a water bottle, and I bring it over to him, and he's just kind of looking at me, and I go, "What?" He goes, "You're just going to keep doing this? I keep you hydrated, big guy. I keep you hydrated." What was going on? He went through three or four of those things. Why? Because you're working. You thirst. You drink a little bit. You'll thirst again. Sin will always leave you parched. Sin, you could drink and drink and drink and drink and drink, and you're literally going to need some more later. But when I rely on my salvation, when I trust in the Lord, I don't have a need for those old things. Oh, Matt, do you remember back when we used to? Yep, pretty ashamed of that, actually. I had to confess that one to the Lord. Oh, well, you changed. I go, amen. I'm glad. I'm glad I've changed along the years. I'm glad I laid those things down. Right? I'm glad those things ain't eating at my wallet, eating at my family time, eating at my life. Glad of that. Right? Well, how are you supposed? You gotta come to the well. Right? How are you gonna have no fun if you don't come to the well? I drank from one well once, and I don't need it anymore. Oh, I'll slip, but I don't need it. I don't have to have it. And when I do slip, oh, I can go back to the Father and plead the blood and say I'm sorry. And get the strength to stay away from that old stuff. Get the strength to say no to it for the next time. I can grow past little failures. I can be forgiven for little failures. And I can learn ultimately I don't need them. So what do? We rely on what we have, our salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.